This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm Russell Tovey.
And I'm Robert Diamond.
This is Talk Art.
Welcome to Talk Art.
How are you, Rob?
I'm feeling really curious.
Are you?
And quite inquisitive.
Bi-curious or...?
Because... No, not bi-curious, actually. I'm definitely gay.
Oh, but, good.
The times that I have met today's guest with you a few times, and I've actually been once to his house before where we are right now, I've always found the way that he speaks so compelling. Mm. And it's almost like I'm kind of like waiting for the next word. And I'm kind of like... really excited about learning what he's going to say, because you speak in such an informative, kind of generous way, which it's very unusual. Mm-hmm. And he is known around the world for many
He's a living legend around the world.
Yeah. For many different
films. First time you met him, you actually bowed to him, I think, and he held onto your hand for a prolonged time. And you went a bit, you blushed a little bit.
That was in Chalk Farm.
That was in Chalk Farm. We were shooting a movie together.
Yes.
And I took you backstage to meet him.
That's true.
And you went a bit giddy.
I did actually bow to you. Oh. And I think you were like, who is this weirdo?
Bless you. You can stand up now. Get up.
Okay. Well, we would like to welcome to Talk Art, Sir Ian McKellen.
Right, thank you. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. How are you doing, Ian?
Well, here you are in my house, and I'm suddenly aware that, people say, oh, tell me about your collection. I said, I don't have a collection. But here we are sitting in this room. And I don't know who painted that over there. Isn't that awful? That one in the middle.
It's amazing. Where do you know where you got it from?
I bought it from a man in Bath. And you'd say it was Spanish, wouldn't you?
Yes.
It's a toreador. But I can't read the name. Yes. But do you get... Well, this is a sitting room.
This is where we are, the sitting
I was going to say, so I've already noticed that a lot of the people in these works are sitting down.
They're all sitting down, in fact. Yes. And even the one behind me in the boat, they're sitting down in the boat, aren't they?
Yeah.
There's Judy Dent sitting down.
She's sitting down very comfortably there. Yes.
And that one on the end, that's by James Whale. Do you know who he was?
No, tell us about James Whale.
James Whale was the part I played in Gods and Monsters, and James Whale was a real man who directed the early Frankenstein movies and was also a painter, latterly. And that's a portrait, not of Sal Mineo, but it looks a bit like that, doesn't it? Or even Elvis Presley, that's bang on the beard. 1956, he was doing that.
Very handsome, Vichy.
And that man grew up to be called John Peters, and he was sort of in Hollywood. Anyway, that's what that is. That's an actual James Whale.
Wow.
And that's me by my friend,
Waiting
Nick
for Godot,
who you've just met but next door, has got his studio next door.
Yeah.
That's Waiting for Godot. That's Duncan, what's he called?
Oh, I know who you mean.
Grant. There are so many of them, but that's a chalk of clearly a young man on a typewriter. You don't know what a typewriter is, but he was sending a message to somebody.
Luckily, we're just about old enough that we do remember typewriters. It's one of my earliest memories is actually my mum's typewriter.
Yeah. Really?
I was obsessed with that. I used to love hitting it.
Yes.
You know, to make the spring happen.
Yeah,
and the sound it made.
So talking about this artist that lives in your house, you have a live-in artist that works in a studio.
Yes. Nick is from New Zealand, but lives here now, and wanting to move his studio. So I suggested that he had one floor in the house next door, which I'd just bought for not really knowing why and feeling it was an enormous extravagance. But then I just had the sense that if once it was up and running, the people would come and occupy it. So Nick has taken up residency on one floor, and we've got a friend, Michael Sonnengard from Scandinavia, who's here having a photographic exhibition. Not the first person to have an exhibition there. So it's sort of devoted to art, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
It sounds a bit pretentious, but anyway, it just sort of happened. It's just friends, really.
But you met Nick when you was working in New Zealand. You followed his art when you was out there.
No, I met him at 3 o'clock in the morning in the Mall in Cuba Mall in Wellington. Yes, and I followed his every move.
He's strode, very artistic.
He left his car and was striding back to it after a night in the town, and I interrupted his journey. And we were never out of each other's sight for the next 18 months. But now, a marriage later on his behalf and on mine, he's back here.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How do you feel about opening up your house then to art exhibitions for friends? And
well, I know how difficult it is to be an artist and make money out of it, you know. And someone who decides to devote themselves to something, they should be encouraged, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
Particularly if what they produce is moves you and stirs you in some way. And Nick's portraits do that for me.
But it's incredibly generous of you to do that for people.
Well, it doesn't feel... I feel that on the contrary. I feel it's generous of him to come and, provide me with a constant source of entertainment. To think there's someone down there actually painting a painting. Crikey.
That's amazing. Yeah. You have a lot of portraiture in your house. Do you think you're drawing...
Do I?
Yeah.
Well, not of me, you'll
find. Figurative works.
I don't have many mirrors in the house, and I don't want to be reminded of an image of myself, so... But yes, do they? Yes, well, I don't know. There are quite a lot of landscapes upstairs at some industrial scenes.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's right. We'll get on to that.
And have you often thought about art when you're travelling the world making films or acting in different plays in different countries? Do you ever collect art as a memento for a memory or anything like that or not?
Well, I think I've got a painting or something in a frame from every job I've ever had, or tour I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, so that's why I'm always dropping into the little gallery, Colin Jellicoe's gallery in Manchester, 1974, when the Actors' Company were there. We all went in and bought something, Robin Ellis, Sheila Reid, and he kept in touch, and he was providing industrial pencils, drawings, of the industrial north to Edward Heath when he was Prime Minister, and Colin Jellicoe came down. And we set up an exhibition for him at the National Theatre in the lobby there. He's just died. Mad enthusiast for cowboys, and used to paint a lot of cowboys. So whenever I went through Manchester, I would pick up a painting from Colin Jellicoe.
Wow. So was he one of the first works of art you ever bought?
No, the first one I bought was with my very first salary. Belgrade Theatre, Coventry, 1961, £8... 10 shillings a week, £8.50. And with that salary, I bought my first painting. And it's hanging at store number 86.
Is it?
Beautiful.
What is
some
it
cyclists.
Did it immediately speak to you? When you saw it, did you feel a connection with that work?
Well, it was something I could afford.
Okay.
£8.50 it cost.
So it was a week's salary went on that painting?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That was the first job I had. It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah. So what was the show again? What was the show you did?
Well, it was the Belgrade Theatre Commentary. That was a company that did a lot of plays through the year. The first one was A Man for All Seasons by Robert Bolt, which Paul Scofield made into a film, won the Oscar for.
Yeah. Mm.
I was playing a junior member of the household. Mm.
So growing up in the north of England, do you have like early memories of either making art or just the art that you were aware of, like in the wartime kind of era and...
Everything in the war was homemade, but I wasn't the craftsman. My dad did that. He would paint the house, but he would also make a fort or make a doll's house meticulously. He was an engineer. So he was the artist, really, in the house. What did I do? I got into plays, didn't I? But I've never really painted or drawn. I think because he was so good at it, I thought, I'd be second best, maybe. I don't know.
Do you have his work at all?
No. In his first job, he built a bridge over a stream in a park in Burnley, in Lancashire, where I was born. We were playing Burnley recently with my show, and I walked all around the park looking for this bridge. There were a couple of candidates for it, but no labels to say.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Well, flash forward. So the first time I met you in this house, you gave me a tour of your art collection before you had it developed.
It's not an art collection.
It's we are surrounded by art.
Well, look,
there's a book collection. Do you call that? What do you call that? It's just a lot of books on a shelf. or knickknacks. I could take you through there. That's the story of my life.
The knickknack collection.
Yes. Yes. The thing is, if you live on your own, you can do what you want, can't you? And so there are little places I go to. If I want to think about my mother, for example, I would come here because there are a couple of, three or four photographs of her here. Uh-huh. It's not a shrine. I suppose other people have all this available on their phones, but look at my hands are too big for these phones. So I have to have these actual mementos. So there's quite a lot of that in the house. Detritus, other people would call it.
Not at all. But you gave me a mini tour of your not collection then, and you showed me some Lowry's.
Yes.
L.S. Lowry's, which is your ultimate passion, which is one of your go-to.
I suppose so. Yes.
Yeah. And you said that from the Lord of the Rings, when that first came out, you bought yourself a Lowry. Did you get one before that, or was that the same sort of time?
When was Lord of the Rings? 2000. Oh, I'd probably got one before that, but not then they're good, but they're not expensive Lowry's. Well, one of them is, yes. You'd have to guess which one.
Mm-hmm. When did you?
Are we going to go up and tour around?
Yeah, we can have a look in a minute. Yeah.
Before we do,
yes.
You've been practically sitting on it. What do you think that is?
I think that's a.
You describe it for the.
Well, that looks like a kind of poster paint face. You've sort of done. You've like carved a face out of like.
I've not done it.
Someone has carved a face.
It's very expressive, very gestural, and it's almost like it was an abstract painting originally that then evolved into a face. So a face has been kind of revealed and almost like scratched through. But it has got something quite soulful about it.
Well, there's something. Someone trying to get out of there, and there's his name. Can you read it?
It's a very flowery handwriting.
Looks like an A, something H. Andrew.
No, Ant.
Anthony.
Yes.
It's not Hopkins, is it?
Yes.
Anthony Hopkins!
No way! What? Anthony Hopkins 2015. So what's that about?
Well, so he makes art.
Why do you ask him, not me?
Wow. So did he give it to you as a present?
Mm.
What was you doing the show?
We were doing The Dresser. I've got two, actually.
Wow.
Yes.
So this one's on the table.
But
it's
you
not
wouldn't want that
wall.
In your bedroom, would you, waking up to that every morning? But
I quite like the colours, though. It's quite vibrant. Yes. It might even
look.
Like,
how nicely he's done it.
I know, it's very expressive on the back as well. Like
he stands on the roadside in California selling them to tourists, you know.
No,
Yes, so he waves them at and the people stop and they're surprised to see him. But the fact that he's there actually doing it in person means he can charge a little bit more. He's go for about $50, you know.
Wow.
So, you're winding me up. He's not. Okay. That would be amazing to go there and see that. That's cool. But he's not made it onto the wall, this one. This one lives on your table.
I think it's more interesting there, don't
you? I was
you?
About to say, but also more people probably see that, though.
That's right.
Because if you're having this is like a communal area, isn't it?
There's always a chance you might drop your drink over it, I think. It's a possibility.
So there's an amazing statue you've got outside.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that lives in the river. That
another conceit of this room
is
that it should be 18th century, which is what the house originally was. But the nearest I've got to doing what I'd imagine is this rush matting, which is actually the sort of floor covering they would have had when the house was built. You have to water it.
What?
It's lovely. It's almost living.
You have to water this flooring?
Yes, it can't dry out entirely. Anyway, but what it's ended up is a series of windows that you're looking out at and seeing these people through. And then there, of course, you've got an actual window, which is why I've not got any curtains there. I like to think it's just a picture hanging on that wall. But of course, you can look into it and it's 3D and it's...
It is, though, isn't it? Because it's like the perfect kind of landscape shape.
Yes.
Yeah. The light's amazing. But if we look out the window now, we're actually seeing a seagull atop...
Oh yes,
of an amazing sculpture you have out there.
Yeah.
That lives in the river, but it's on your bit of the river.
Yes.
By an artist called
Anthony Gormley.
And
well, I saw that in his studio, and I think it was the last of the 100 iron replicas of his body, which are on the beach at Crosby in Lancashire, which has transformed that 100 of them. This was left over. Yes, I could have it, and I assumed it would. He would stand on the beach there, and be drowned each day in the tide, which is vociferous around here, as they do on the beach in Crosby. No, he wanted it raised up, as you see, on a pillar, so that the highest the water goes, it never gets higher than his waist, let's say.
So he is submerged slightly then?
You know, his legs go, absolutely. It's amazing to think that amount of water comes up. It's 20 feet, isn't it?
I feel like starting. Last time we came here, it was submerged, like more submerged than that. I don't remember seeing the whole body.
Anyway, he was very precise of where he wanted, the height that he wanted. He wanted it looking out to sea, which is looking east from here.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to clean it one day in a little rowing boat and stood up in the rocking boat, photographed by my neighbour throughout, who was hoping he might fall in. with an iron brush, he washed away all the bird grime, but as you see, it's back. It's
how
practically,
regularly
practically
does he do
white.
That? You're not
well, he's done it once. And I was told I wasn't allowed to touch it. That's not the deal. If something is in a public space like this, the fact that I owned it and bought it doesn't mean that I have any control over what happens to it. I'm not allowed to label it or to touch it or to paint it or to do anything to it. I'm just sort of its guardian, which is fine.
And what do your neighbours make of it? Have you had comments?
They're all in approval with the exception of one who begged me to take it down.
Really?
And was prepared to sell his body to
why?
Have it.
Why?
It upset him too much.
Because I was about to say, what a generous thing to, like, you know, put a public artwork out there and share it with everybody. But then I suddenly thought to myself, I wonder what other people...
But fair enough, for him, although he doesn't actually live here, his mother does, he looks up at that view and he sees something which was traumatic in his life.
And this now interrupts it. Right.
As, of course, art is designed to do.
Yes.
To make you aware of itself. So it can be.
So what happens when Anthony Gormley passes on, does his estate then come and keep it clean forever, or what's the deal there?
Well, these are the sort of problems that keep me awake at night, Russell.
Me and, too.
But thank you for underlining that I've done nothing about it. Now look at that painting there. Isn't that lovely? Do you see what that is? That's the back of the house.
Oh my God.
So if I weren't holding this microphone, I could go and point to you where we actually are. And that's a boat in the Thames, and the painter would have been in another barge, which at low tide could have rested there. They are in that little sketch of the same scene there.
Where did how did you find this?
In a neighbour's house. And I said, well, if ever you're getting rid of that, I'd love to have it because I could see my house on it and everything. And it's very romantic, you know. It's the man being driven back with a straw hat on. He's got his... he's been to Madeira somewhere and he's come off this boat here. There's his sweetheart waiting with the dog
at
the top of the stairs.
Wow.
That's amazing. I quite like the idea that you're like recreating the outside inside. That's like conceptual.
Yes.
And there's another little sketch. And so your neighbour had the little sketch as
actually
well?
Weirdly,
no, I found that. But the extraordinary thing was there's a companion piece to this done from a slightly different angle. And I found out where it was, and it was in Bolton Art Gallery.
That's where you're from.
I was brought up.
Yeah.
So all the time I was there, there was the companion piece to this hanging on the walls. Weird. And more than that, they were selling it because it was one of the things that they least regarded. So I went to have a look at it, and it was covered in tobacco stains, you know, and it was so brown and that there had been no point in me having it. And then my neighbours said, right, we're on the move. Do you want to have it? So, I've got the companion piece that's just clean and.
So you looked at the other one first.
I did look at the other one. Yes.
And then we've got a book here, a massive book by David Hockney.
Yeah, which we were looking at just before we started talking.
Which has been signed to you, happy birthday, from David, Ian 80.
Well, my friends were clubbing together to buy this for me, which is this amazing, large, very large book, has its own stand here, and you turn over the pages rather reverentially, like you're doing a war memorial or something, a different page each day. There he is. He's one of those red things. He did one of me like that, and I'm the same colour.
When did you sit for him?
Well, two or three times.
Really?
But look, when he heard it was for me, he said, "Oh," and he's put Ian at 80 for Ian. Happy birthday, love. Always highlight with little stars, David. So he gave me this.
Wow. So when did you first meet David Hockney?
I must have been in the 70s, 1975. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know him very well. But if I'm ever in LA, I always go and visit him.
Do you?
Well, his studio, you know. He's so friendly.
And did you think much about his work before you
it's
first
a bit of old
met?
Lowry there, isn't it?
Yes,
no.
Very much so, yeah.
He's no time for Lowry, you know.
Really?
No.
Little matchstick man, he's not into that.
And it's a pity that Hockney doesn't get Lowry at all. I said, you must be sympathetic to a man who paints and has never painted a shadow in his life because the sun has never been out in Manchester. You know, and I remember David saying to me, he said, well, what have I had to go and live in Los Angeles once I'd seen those shadows in Laurel and Hardy movies, as in all the black and the white. That's all comes from the sunshine, and we don't get sunshine in Bradford. Absolutely, you don't get sunshine in Manchester either. So, but no, it's no time for him.
That's amazing.
It is.
But you have a massive amount of time for Lowry. He's like a big hero of yours.
Yeah.
And I know that in the mid-2000s, you actually were in a documentary about Lowry
I was.
And you were talking about this idea that the Tate owned a lot of Lowry's work but wasn't displaying it for the
That's
public.
Right.
Mainly because he was so popular.
An
which
outrage.
Is such an insane
well,
idea,
London's never been able to cope with Lowry. So the establishment have never done the honourable thing, for instance, like having an arts council or not, a British council Lowry tour around the world.
Mm.
It would sell out everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so popular. The prices of his art, if you want to judge things in that way, are so high, and they're escalating all the time.
Yeah.
And basically, he's only sold in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
If America once discovered Lowry, every gallery felt that they had to have a Lowry in it.
I read a quote as well that, like, there was never really a time you could imagine in your life or maybe it was somebody else in the documentary, I can't quite remember, but when Lowry didn't exist. And that's actually my experience, is that from being a young child, Lowry was always there. Like in my household, my mum had books or postcards or prints on the wall. And in the 80s particularly, Lowry was like so popular. Yeah. Because I feel like now would actually be a good time to have a Lowry show that goes around the world.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you don't really hear about him as much these days. Yeah, it'd be quite cool actually.
Maybe who's this mirror by, Ian? So we're looking at a kind of mosaic, kind of French-style profile mirror. No, not French.
Well, he's got a moustache. It almost makes me think of, like, 70s...
Who is it? Yes, who is it?
70s kind of...
Good.
Handsome,
right,
gay
period.
Man.
It might be Armistead Maupin, mightn't it, as a younger man? It could be Elvis.
He looks a bit
it's,
more...
It's the Maharaja of Jaipur.
Right.
And it's by the master of... this sort of mirror work.
Oh, I know who it is. Is it Andrew Logan?
It's Andrew Logan.
Ah, oh, I got that. No, but I actually got that without him saying it. I did. I put
loads of jewellery, doesn't he?
Yes, I love Andrew Logan. I went to his studio.
Yes.
An Alternative Miss World.
Yes, of course.
I went to one of those in about 2000 or something.
Well, he gave this to Stonewall, I think it was, to sell at one of the charity art
auctions.
Yeah. I was actually struck as well by your kitchen because it looks like a Mondrian painting.
Here we are. Travel by train. Don't you love this? Life is gay at Whitley Bay. But that's as far as I understand from the photograph. It's clearly a father and mother and their two white children. Oh, and dog. Whitley Bay, travel by train. Yeah, come on.
Let's go and look at the Lowrys.
Yes, all right.
Do you think art has been a big part of your life, Ian?
Well, now you've come round, I think perhaps it has been, yes.
Well, when we arrived, you said art, and you were like, well, what's art got to do with me?
Yes.
Which is quite interesting. And the whole house.
In your
I know,
house.
And the whole house is full of art.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that maybe you don't think about it. But I also thought that was an interesting reason to speak to you.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, that's a precious little Lowry.
That's beautiful.
It's a street which ends and overlooks a hill with an object on top. It's sort of a bit phallic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the perspective, no people in it, no colour. Well, it's a stage set, isn't it? You can imagine.
Oh, yeah, players coming.
Morecambe and Wise coming from round the corner and doing a song
think
and dance.
Blood Brothers.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So
it's
this
a
was
set.
Drawn, this was drawn in 1960. Do you think this would have been a study for a bigger painting?
Yeah, but he loved the theatre, you see. I think that's a theatre set. I don't know.
Right.
I don't suppose there are many moments in his life when he wasn't drawing.
That's amazing, this one.
Oh, well, that's good, isn't it?
Yes.
That's a really good one, yeah.
Now, this is just in the middle of the war, maybe, or post-war. So what does that say, 45 or 6 or 7? And it's of a scene in West Lancashire, in St. Annes, or Lytham, just south of Blackpool. And this is the odd piece of land with water on three sides. There are such places I've seen. There's a sort of spit of sand that comes out where people frolic around. And see, right at the front, there's this little boy, girl.
It's that little skirt, yeah.
A little someone.
Yeah.
Looking out at Mr. Lowry. What the hell are you doing out there? Oh, and this person's looking as well. And so is this one. There are always people in Lowry's who are looking out at the painting, saying, what's going on? I don't understand. Well, quite right, because what's Mr. Lowry doing? Is he up on a ladder here? Where is he? Is he floating?
Water, yeah.
It's extraordinary. Well, of course, you said, he's in the dress circle, isn't he? He's looking down on the stage. And this is the front of the stage here.
Right.
Do you know, it's so theatrical
to
me. And posed and arranged and choreographed.
I never considered that before.
I think it's all about, and there's probably a brass band playing here in this pier, at the end of the pier.
But these would have been imagined scenes he painted.
Yes. Oh, yes, I think so.
And something for me with his work was always, I thought, it really captured a spirit of a time and of a real place, but it's so unphotographic and so not realist in a way, like that they
it's
are
so
kind
of...
so
stylized and you recognise it.
Look at
the way he draws the dogs.
Look at them all out on their holiday. Look at the weather.
It's grey.
But maybe
it's white grey, isn't it? It's light grey. No shadows.
Yeah.
So they're not. They're not. And so, in a sense, they're not people either. They're figures thrown onto the canvas. But look at this couple. That's
Gilbert and George, isn't
Gilbert
it?
It's like Charlie Chaplin.
Exactly. Yeah. Gilbert and George, Charlie Chaplin. Wonderful. I think
No Man's
Land. Yeah. Waiting for Godot.
Yes.
One of them leaning on the stick and the other tall one saying, come on, dear, let's get going.
It's amazing how lost you can get in this, actually. Do you see things, different things in this every time you look?
But it depends how stoned I am, yeah.
Right, yeah. Mm.
And then look, this guy leaning on a stick is simply looking out into the wings.
Yeah.
It's such a cheeky idea,
true,
isn't it?
Though,
that this person doesn't really
so
want
straight.
To be in this painting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also his angle is totally like he's looking into the wings. It's totally
yes,
true. Yeah.
It is.
It's actually bringing me back memories of you and Waiting for Godot.
And I don't know.
I saw you
well,
do that.
That's the
one.
I don't know whether he was actually a very good painter. I mean, these are appalling animals here, aren't these dogs here? Are they dogs or are they cats?
I think they're dogs,
of course they are. But you think, oh, I see. Is that the essence of dog that we're looking at? I think probably it is.
I know,
so it's quite close to a cartoon.
And it's quite hard to get to that point where it looks that kind of unphotographic and unrealist in a way.
But if people challenge the preeminence of Lowry, you just have to say, next time you look at a group of people in the mid-distance, whether they're on their way to a football match or going out for the evening, or as these people are on holiday, you say, oh my God, that's a Lowry. And before he'd painted people like this, we didn't know we looked like this. Do you not think?
Yeah.
And time and again, I'm walking, oh, look at that Lowry scene. I get quite emotional. Because from such an unlikely source, we've got this insight into who we are.
And it's interesting because there's a pairing in this room that is facing a David Hockney work. And it kind of makes you realise, though, maybe David Hockney wasn't into Lowry because it's almost like where he grew up or where he came from. And he probably didn't want to be there anymore. He wanted to run away and become something else.
Well,
he was looking for
boys, and he was looking for the sunshine.
Yeah, and colour as well. You can see this incredible vibrant colour.
Well, it's astonishing. This was a series that he did. Would it be 10 years ago? You can see it's four prints in one. You can see the vague division there. And this was done on an app available free to anybody called Paint or something. Mm-hmm. And with his finger on his laptop, he drew this painting and 100 others and picked the colours. Look at that beautiful pink of the water there, reflecting a sky up above that we can't quite otherwise see. Mm-hmm. He did that with his finger and then blew it up to this size. So in a gallery, of course, from a distance, it's very impressive. And there's just enough room in this house to get away from it and see it as it's meant to be viewed from the distance.
Do you think that's brilliant about Hockney is that he's constantly evolving. He's never scared of new advances in technology and he embraces
On the contrary, yes, he loves it, yeah.
This is stunning. Where did you see this one?
This would be at the Royal Academy. He had an exhibition there, I think it was. And being hot leather for sale.
And what was it about this particular one that spoke to you, though?
It's got to be the pink, right?
It was that pink. Yeah. I like the illusion of that little pool of water is reflecting the trees above. Can you see that? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my God, to have done that with your finger when I can't even send an email message on my laptop because my fingers are so crude. But David somehow fashioned all that. Look at all the delicacy of those twigs up at the top.
Mm-hmm. Does he still make these iPad drawings?
Don't say, oh no, we're on to something else.
Oh, wait, what are we on to now?
Yeah, well, I don't know what we're on to.
Well, we're on to the cut canvases, I think you told me last time.
I know we're past the cut
canvases.
We're past
the cut canvases.
No, he's coming back to live in Europe. He's coming to live in Bayeux, where the Bayeux tapestry is. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
I'm a big fan of the Bayeux
1066.
Tapestry.
1066.
Yes, you can, and you think Lowry would have been a big fan of it too.
He definitely, yeah.
Oh, yeah, with the little people.
David's a fan, and he's going to live in Bayeux and commune with the tapestry and produce his own tapestry.
Oh, that's so cool.
Now, whether it will be a tapestry or painting, I don't know, but it's going to be a very, very long painting he's going to do.
That's genius.
It is genius.
Has he said that publicly? Is that
Wow. Yes, he's coming over to live here.
So how long has he given himself to do that? Because the Bayeux tapestry took about 15 years, didn't
it?
Life. Wow. Well, this is a beautiful room, isn't it?
Can I quickly ask you something non-art related? The Hockney is hanging above a grand piano.
Yes.
And I vaguely remember years ago hearing you on Desert Island Discs, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And you spoke about having a grand piano on the desert island. Was that you?
Oh, it could have been.
I think it was you. Because I'm a piano player. I grew up playing piano and I used to make music.
I see.
And I remember you saying something about wanting to have a grand
piano
on the desert island.
Do you know about Fazioli?
No, I don't, actually.
But it's a work of art, isn't it?
Might well be.
Don't you think
like
that's
it.
Fantastic?
It's beautiful, yeah.
I mean, it's signed here in a inlaid metal on the... But it's so satisfying.
Mm. And do you play?
Look at that. No.
Mm. You don't? Wow. So you
yes,
to...
I do.
Oh, you do?
No, okay. I don't. But I'm learning to play.
Do you invite people over to play for you?
I do. And they signed the wall.
Oh, really? Who have we got signed on there?
Murray Pariah has played here.
Cool.
The great, great pianist. But I can't play.
That sounded
but
nice.
I'm learning to play. But I haven't, because I've been on tour, I've not been at home. But now, as you see, we've opened it up again and we'll be playing full time.
How has touring been?
Come on, it's been very good. Yeah. Come over here. What are we doing? Look here, you see, now this is a, I wouldn't say unique, but there aren't many of these sort of close-ups. Sometimes Lowry paints portraits and they dominate the screen, single figure. But usually he's well away from what he's painting, and so the silhouette of the buildings can get involved, as well as the movement of the people. But here you're right up amongst the people, aren't you? Mm-hmm. You can identify them and cast them. And here's clearly Maggie Smith coming down the down these rather fake steps. But of course they're fake. They're not real steps. It's not meant to represent steps. It represents steps, but it doesn't.
That's merely what it does. It's representative.
Doesn't impersonate them. Yes. So it's a set. It's a flat, two-dimensional thing.
Does he say that's what he's working?
No. But
it's
look
weird,
here's the edge of the stage.
Yeah.
So do you think this is why you're so attracted to him?
Yes. Look at this man. He's coming in from the side. Yeah. There's only half of him on the canvas. So I think...
Like a Benjamin Britten opera or something. You can imagine when you have the big groups of people on stage.
Very good, yes. Yes, a chorus.
We went to see a Benjamin Britten recently.
We did.
We didn't want to kill ourselves. It was so intense.
See, he's looking out at the campus and this little bomb. What's that man doing over there? Well, I don't know, dear. I don't know. Extraordinary. Oh, look at Mr. Lowry.
Even through the window here in the background.
Yes,
as well.
They're looking in the...
They're
looking at
and
the
this
audience.
Guy's looking, facing away again, doesn't want to be in the picture. No. Yeah.
And they're looking out at the audience, I just think.
That's amazing.
Anyway.
And I like them dogs at the front. It looks like a mini reindeer, the other one, doesn't it? That little one at the front.
Yeah,
the
ridiculous dogs. This is a very early, 1923,
is it?
Oh, is it? Oh. Well, there's not much on the table, is there? And it's a domestic scene, and it's in the middle of the war, and this plant has clearly died, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And beyond that, I wouldn't like to say who's on trial. Is this the guilty party? Are these kids clearly know something? They're trying to get away. Is mother conducting the argument, or is dad? I don't know. And what's this little boy? He just wants to run. There's something going on there.
Yeah.
So what was Lowry's life then? What was his story?
He's a rent collector. That's what he did for a living. And walked the streets and sketched the streets as he walked and saw people and painted at night under electric light. Might be another reason why there's no shadows in his paintings. Very proud of his skills. He was a trained painter. And
did he exhibit in his lifetime?
Oh, he was a huge success
was
in his
he?
Lifetime. Yes, very rich.
So he gave up collecting rent?
Offered a CBE, no. Offered a knighthood, no. Offered a companion of honour, no. Offered an order of merit, no. No, he was...
proud.
Did very well.
That's amazing. David Hockney must have been offered, right?
He's accepted an order of merit.
Okay.
So did Harold Pinter, the other great socialist.
What letters are those after your name?
O.M.
O.M., okay.
There are only 26 of them alive at any one time.
What, so someone has to die before someone else can get an O.M.? Oh, right. Amazing.
Here we go. Classic, absolute classic. This scene doesn't exist. He knew this bend in the road which goes down, but the church isn't there at the top of the hill, and I don't know, some bomb damage here, I suppose. And people just scattered along the hill. Clearly a hill, isn't it? And looking out at Mr. Hockney yet
again. And this one's the really early one.
Mr. Lowry.
1931.
Yes, that's
wow.
early.
Wow, so that's the early drawing.
I think that's
wow.
a masterpiece.
Yeah, that's incredible.
All done with pencil.
Yeah, beautiful. Where do you find your Lowrys?
Where did I find that? I don't know. But that there are, I would say, scores of these in the collection that Anne Lowry left to...
The Tate.
Oh, gave to... Not the Tate, no, gave to the Lowry...
Manchester.
Oh, okay, Manchester, right.
Yeah, Manchester Lowry.
But there are so many of them not on display. They don't have the room. This is the oldest one.
Oh, there's another drawing. Amazing.
1922.
That one. I love that.
What could you describe it? It's just pencil on.
They could almost be at the beach, isn't he? Making a phone call.
They are at the beach. There. That's
teacher
right.
Telling kids off back there, and
yes,
these girls are not really interested, but the boys are kind of scurrying around the girls trying to impress them.
They are.
There's another man there doesn't want to be in the picture, arms crossed. That seems to be a theme.
I think this man sitting down is probably this man standing up here. I think that's Lowry coming to perv on the girls. All the girls have got pigtails, which is what he adored. And in the dirty paintings they discovered after his death, what else could, they're masturbatory images of...
And they're called the dirty paintings?
No, I don't know what you would call them, really.
But they were privately for him.
Oh, yes, they were just for him. But all these girls with pigtails are... I've not counted the pigtails in this painting, but there are something like 12 of them.
Wow. Oh, my God. How many dirty paintings did they find then?
Quite a lot. Well, dirty, I mean, they were erotic.
It's erotic, right.
Things that turned him on. Would you call those dirty? No, probably not.
I just saw an exhibition about the seaside in the Turner Contemporary in Margate, the museum there, and they had photographs taken by Keith Vaughan that had never been seen until he died, and they found them in a wardrobe or behind the wardrobe or something, and they are amazing portraits of men at the ponds in Hampstead.
Really?
Oh, wow!
And they're not, like, erotic as such, but they're actually incredible photographs.
So what year would they have been made?
Not sure, maybe the 50s or something.
Wow!
But, like, properly old-style...
So they're all in, like, the onesie and the swimsuits,
yeah, aren't they? But also just, like, the hairstyles and... The kind of muscle boys. It was really interesting.
Lovely.
Actually, talking of photography, there's a photograph that I noticed downstairs, which is one of my all-time favourite photographs, which is of Samuel Beckett by Jane Bowne, I think.
Bowne.
Yeah. Is that because of him, obviously, as a writer, but what is it that photograph, did that particularly speak to you?
Well, the person who gave it to me was Edna O'Brien, who... the novelist, and Beckett meant an awful lot to her.
Okay.
And I suppose I was doing Waiting for Godot, and that arrived. James Bone photographed me at the National Theatre, and when she left, it didn't take her long, she said, oh, I forgot my lighting, and she went and unscrewed a 40-watt light bulb. That's all she'd used to. And she took it off with her for her next appointment. And that was a snapshot she took very, very quickly at the stage door of the Royal Court Theatre. But she was brilliant. Come on.
Yeah, I love that photo.
Have we done up here?
Yeah, we can head down, yeah.
Yes.
And you yourself, if you look up, like, Ian McKellen on Google or something, do you realise how many people have painted you? There are, like, thousands of paintings of you by all different kinds of people. And there's also about 19 or 20 works of you in the National Portrait Gallery. So have you sat... at all for any of those paintings?
I think you may be exaggerating a bit.
I think it's Lord of the Rings as well. There seems to be a lot of kids in like fan art.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I meant in the National Galleries.
There's 19 or 20 photographs.
There's a black and white photograph that somebody took. Then there's a painting, Clive Smith.
Yeah, so I saw Clive Smith, exactly.
Clive Smith won the BT Award, and his part of his winnings were to paint somebody of his choice, and I was thought suitable.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's an amazing photograph of you by Lord Snowden.
Oh, yes.
Mary McCartney.
Oh, really?
And they're all very different. And my favourites of you are by Trevor Layton, when you've got a moustache and you must be about 40 or something.
Yes.
And you are incredibly attractive.
Yes, that was for Iago, I think, yes.
Very
captivating. And you've also
set
for Portrait Artist of the Year, and your painting won, didn't it?
Yeah, this kind
that's
of...
Right,
art,
that's right, that's right. Yeah, on telly.
Yeah,
Joan Bakewell. Have you just done it?
Yeah. It's not been on yet.
Oh, well, you know what fun it is.
Yeah, it's really fun.
And you have to sit still, and they were remarking, can you see how still he's sitting there? Yeah, but you see, he's an actor, that That's his actor's training.
Stillness. Yeah.
And there's a drawing of you in the National Portrait Gallery by Cecil Beaton.
I know
the
1960s.
There is.
I know.
What's the story behind that one?
But there's no story.
Oh, really?
Except that he did it.
Oh, okay.
And he was watching, clearly, Hamlet, which I did on television. He was, that's me as Hamlet.
Oh.
And whilst I'm, he's at home, sketching that perfectly adequate little thing.
I thought maybe there'd be
And he put my name on it, and it was in his papers after when he died, and it all went to the...
I love that one.
Yes. Yes, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
How much longer are you touring for, Ian?
What's he called? Andy Warhol photographed me when Sean and I went to buy an Andy Warhol painting. Not painting, print. Lithograph of Mick Jagger, which had taken Sean's fancy. We went in and for $15,000 I bought this from Andy, and he took us into the factory, and the first thing he did was take our photograph. That's what he did all the time.
Uh-huh.
So somewhere in his... archive, there must be a little snap of Sean and me.
Oh, that is so
we went into the back room and he pulled out all these drawers, and they were all Mick Jagger, but all slightly different, you know. And he said, which one do you fancy? Do you want the silver one there or the blue? The blue's nice.
No way. So he would sell the art to you?
Yes, he sold us. He sold
what was he like?
Well, he was like a nice camp young man, really. Not, I don't know about young. Well, he was a goer. He was a goer and a show-off and a very serious artist, of course, and very influential. And
what print did you buy? Which one
well,
did you
was,
buy?
Well, it was Mick Jagger.
Wow. But what sort of colours was it?
Silver and black. Well, of course, Sean still got it.
Wow.
That is a good story.
That's amazing.
Yes. And then I was on his TV show. He had a TV show. And then we had a meal with him shortly before he died, and he got these crystals around his neck. He said he was convinced the crystals were going to save his life. No, he... Alas, he wasn't very...
This is after
healthy.
He'd been shot, wasn't it? So he was...
Shot? Oh, was he shot?
Yeah, he was shot, and he survived that.
Oh, my God, I'd forgotten that.
Yeah. Two questions we ask all of our guests.
Oh, dear.
The first one is, if you could do an art heist, you can steal any work of art in the world for yourself, your touchstone artwork, what would that be?
And we can help you. It can be any size you want. It doesn't have to be small. We could get a crane.
It could be a theatre.
Oh, I see. No. I think Michelangelo's David would look very nice on the terrace.
Lovely.
Don't you think?
Full-scale one, yeah, sure.
No, the one.
The one.
The one.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
The one inside the museum. Yeah. We could encase it in some sort of covering.
I would come around and clean that myself for you if that got burnt. I wouldn't mind that.
We don't need Gormley's assistance.
While you're doing that, Anthony Gormley can go down again. Yes.
And the other question we ask every guest is, what is your favourite colour?
I think blue.
How come?
Well, I don't know. Blue of the sky, isn't it? Blue of cornflowers, blue of my eyes.
Yeah,
you do have really blue eyes.
I don't know. I'm a bit colourblind, so you probably notice this house is full of colour that's a bit brash to some people. To me, it's just absolutely dandy because I don't see things with the clarity that most people do.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, there are a lot of bright colours in this house, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'd pass me by.
And also, you do definitely feel a love of nature here, because that John Allen tapestry downstairs, which I loved,
mm-hmm.
of that amazing figure in the land art.
Yeah.
I love that one with the giant erection.
The Roman erection.
What is that?
The giant of Sir Nabus, isn't he called?
That's right, yeah.
Look who that is.
There's Anthony Hopkins.
Sweet photo.
Oh,
look, well, wow,
see what we're doing. We're doing...
Laurel and Hardy.
Look at him.
Oh.
Isn't he clever, Tony? Yeah. You see him, that just feels like he's tying his bow tie, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
All right, darlings.
Thank you so much. And I feel like we've maybe made you realise that you're an art collector, even if you didn't realise
it
before.
I know. Look at these. See, that was on the back of the set of Vicious, and I bought it.
Really?
Thinking it was Laurence Olivier. Because it looks rather like him. No, it's not. It's some French hero of the war. Here's his plane going down in flames, perhaps. I don't know. And then we came to the second series. They said, oh, can we have the thing back to put on the set? And I said, yeah, but just in case I'd forgot it, They'd ordered another one, a companion piece.
Oh, my God.
So this was on the back of that, so I had to buy that as well. But you see, it's slightly more ascetic than yes. this man. But these are actual people. I'm sorry I don't know their names. They're great French...
heroes.
Heroes. Wow. And just their heads in green bronze.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So for everyone listening, Russell and Ian have just made a film together, a movie together, called The Good Liar, which yes. will be out from the 8th of November.
I call it The Very Good Liar.
The Very Good Liar.
Yes.
And I heard the pre-screenings were very good, so that's exciting, with Dame Helen Mirren as well.
Yeah, Helen Mirren.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Who you curtsied for when you met at the
same time. Yeah, so I bowed for you, but I curtsied for her.
He came to visit us when we was doing the movie, and he came backstage, and he met Helen Mirren, Heaven, and he curtsied for her, Ian.
And Russell apologised to her and was like, Rob, she's not actually the queen. And she was like, no, it's fine. I love it when he curtsies for me. And
of course
that was very entertaining.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to seeing your film, both of you.
All right. Well,
and thank you for speaking with us about art.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And we'll be back very soon.
A great pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You've been listening to Talk Art with Robert Diament and Russell Tovey. Follow us on Instagram at Talk Art, where you can view images of all artworks discussed in this episode. Recorded at Spiritland London by Anthony Shaw and edited by Gareth Isles. Subscribe to Talk Art on iTunes and Spotify. Give us a rating and write us a comment. Thanks for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.